Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast with
Trey and Lee.
Trey and Lee. I'll be Trey, you be Lee today?
I think that works.
Okay, very good. We're glad y'all joined us. We are back for another segment of the podcast. Just got through looking at our statistics for our podcast on our, we use a program called Buzzsprout. I think that's the name of it, that hosts our podcast. And thanks to everyone that listens, we were in the top five podcasts on of all their podcasts. I thought that made us feel good.
We've had that's fun.
Yeah,
that's cool.
The podcast we did in December, I think it was called 26. I can't remember the number. Ways to initiate. There's a lot of ways. Ways to initiate sex with your spouse was. It wasn't the most popular, but it may be now. It has just blown up and took off. So it was a fun podcast. We enjoyed doing it. It's good to talk about those things. And the crazy thing is, get this, we can go from talking about initiating sex with your spouse and rolling right into how to put God first in the center of your marriage. And it's good. That's what married sex and relationships with God are all about. That it's not a, sex is not a dirty thing. It is not something God didn't create. Sex is to be bad. It was created for marriage, and it's a very beautiful thing. And you can, as we teach in our workshops, you can be both sexual and happy and enjoy sex in your marriage, and a Christian that follows God. It's a great gift from God.
It is. Yes, you said that well. It's how God designed it to be. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is putting God at the center of your marriage.
Yeah, and that may make folks, most folks probably know by now that we are believers, we're Christ followers, Christians, whatever you want to call it. And we have written some books. If you've read our books, you know that. But we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual intimacy today and putting God at the center of our marriage and why we feel that that has been very, very beneficial to us. Sometimes we have people who are not Christ followers reach out to us and say, does that mean I have a bad marriage? And we say, no, it does not. It just means that we feel like our marriage is better for us because God's a part of it.
Yes.
And so we try really hard to explain to folks that we want God at the center of our marriage, and it works best. And it's easy to say that. It's so easy to say, I want God number one, and with God at the center of my marriage. But what does that mean? What does it mean to put God at the center of your marriage? We actually think we've got some ideas here of what that means or how to do that versus just saying it.
Yeah. So to kick right in, the first one is to have a relationship with God. I mean, it's just that simple. Have a relationship. And really, this is probably more of an individual thing. Each of you individually have a relationship with God. You need to build a friendship with God. It's about getting to know God. And really, I think the best way to do that is to spend some time getting to know him by reading his word. That's really the way that we get to know God and how we build a relationship with him.
We have a relationship with God individually. We have our own individual relationships. We find time to talk about God together, pray about God together, pray to God together, read our Bibles together sometimes. And yet we also have times where we have our own time with God. Actually, I'm an early riser, like real early. About 6 o'clock, my body says, let's get out of this bed. And so I have my quiet time while generally you're still asleep. And you have yours the same time. It's just usually an hour or two later.
Yes.
When you get up, the first thing you do is grab your coffee and you go to your chair and you read your Bible, and you usually read a devotional book and some different things because God's important to us and we want to spend time with him. And so we find it easy for us in the mornings to have that quiet time with God.
Yes. So that's first and foremost, build a relationship with God, and then everything else follows. So number two is
Love God before your spouse.
Yeah, this can be a tough one for some people.
It is. It sounds weird. I love my wife with all my heart. I spend so much time with her. I see her all the time. Our relationship is so strong. And sometimes it's like, how do I have that same relationship with God that I maybe I don't do things with and like I do with my wife. But it is true. I think that I love you better by loving God first.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. When we do love God first, it just helps us to be better people, really.
Better spouses.
Mm. We do things for each other out of love for Christ and out of love for God as much as we do, you know, because I love you. So, yeah, I don't know.
So let me give you a point on that. So there are days when we got married, a long time ago, we made a commitment not only to each other, but we also to God, we were committing to one another. And so there are days, you have them and I have them, where I wake up and maybe I don't feel love for you today. Maybe I don't feel like all the little butterflies, or, you know, maybe there's a day where we don't get along real well. I don't like you real well, but I still love you because I told God that I was going to love you. I promised God that I was committing myself to loving you. And so even days when it's hard for the love maybe to go horizontal, is that the right way? Horizontal,
yes.
Is this way?
Yes. Yes.
To you, that it still goes up and down toward me and God. I love God, I'm going to love you.
Yes.
Because I've made that commitment to Him. And so it also does make me love you because I've loved Him first. It's because He's the author of marriage, the writer of the instruction book. And when I listen to what He says on how to be a husband, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. There's so many things in the Bible that teach us about how to love your spouse. And when we do things God's way, it just goes so much better.
Right. And where I think a lot of people that don't maybe have God at the center of their marriage, where they miss out is this, because they're looking for their spouse to complete them, to meet all their needs, to make them happy. And you just can't put that much, pressure
wow.
on one person. There's not a person that can meet all of your needs, that can totally complete you, that can, you know, make your, if you're looking for your happiness, through your needs being met by one individual, you're not ever going to be happy. And so that's where I think people miss out, you know, that don't have this relationship with God in their marriage, because God is the only one that can truly meet all your needs.
He will fulfill you.
Mm-hmm.
And then your wife or your husband will complement you. Does
yes,
that make sense?
Yes, that's perfect.
Is that a good way to say that?
Yes.
Because you said it so well. God completes you where your spouse can compliments you, and I am happy in my marriage, and you do make me happy, but you're not the source of my joy and my happiness. God is, because he loves me enough that he gave his son to die for my sins.
You know, and he created us to have that longing for a relationship with him, and that's where I think some people, you know, they just miss it. They're constantly trying to fulfill that longing with someone, and, you know, God's saying, look to me. I'm the one that can fulfill that longing that you're missing out on.
Yeah, you put that so well. Another thing that we do to put God at the center of our marriage is we pray together. It not only connects us to God, but it also connects us to one another. There's a lot of intimacy involved in praying together because you're vulnerable. That's your favorite word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of it, but I do it and I like it. You're very vulnerable when you're praying together as a couple. Because you're allowing your spouse to see in the kind of the secret places of your heart where generally only God gets to hear and see.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of vulnerability to praying with your spouse, and it's amazing how much closer you feel, or at least we know we feel when we are praying together. It connects us. It's almost like we've added a third to our marriage. It's like, it's not just you and me against the world. It's mm-hmm. you and me and God against the world. There's three of us, and we got this.
That's right. And a cord of three strands is not easily broken.
Hey, where did you hear that at?
I believe that's in Proverbs.
Yeah. Actually, I think it's Ecclesiastes.
Is it Ecclesiastes? You're right.
Hey, the same guy wrote
but
it.
But did we write about it?
I think we did.
We addressed it in our book.
And you may be right. It could be Proverbs, but I think it's Ecclesiastes.
No, I think it is. I think you're right.
But you are exactly right about that. Now, we didn't always do this well, and I'll go ahead and just kind of tell this story for a second. when we first married, we would pray at a mealtime or we'd pray whatever it was, but we didn't ever take time to pray together. And it wasn't until later, a little later in marriage, that we discovered that you kind of spoke out and said, I want that. And I realized what we were missing and what I wasn't as a husband stepping up and doing was praying with my wife like I should. And we've become much better at that. I've loved that our boys at times have caught us praying together, where maybe we get a message from somebody saying so-and-so's sick or can you pray for the, and we'll stop in the kitchen and pray together and they've walked in. I think that's good that they've seen us doing that. But it's healthy that we pray together. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we need to do that.
So Gallup studies have shown that less than 1% of couples that pray together daily end up getting divorced. I mean, that's pretty much a fail.
Fail safe.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why one of the things that I do when people message us and they go, hey, we're getting ready to get married. What's a book you recommend? And we encourage them to read Wisdom for Your Marriage, which is a book on marriage from Proverbs that causes you to read your Bible together and pray together. Because if we can connect a couple before they get married and they're reading their Bible together and praying together, wow, does that really help make them grow close and connect them spiritually before they ever even go into marriage.
Yes.
Instead of having to wait till year 10 or whatever it is to figure this out. But had somebody the other day, I kind of threw that statistic out there and they said, oh, there's no way that's true. And I said, hey, don't take that up with me. Mm-hmm. Take that up with the folks who did the study.
Right.
You know, and
now it does say daily. It says they pray together daily. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I think that's good. So,
you know, there may be a difference in statistics of couples that just pray together occasionally from ones that pray together daily, but that is an amazing statistic. But we also don't want to miss out on praying for one another, you know, in our private prayer times. You can pray for one another. It's good to ask each other, you know, what is something specific that I can be praying about for you? Let your spouse know when you've prayed for them.
There are times where I ask you, here's something on my heart. Would you pray about that for me today? Or keep that in your prayers. I think that's really important. I love it when you tell me I've prayed for you or, you know, or something along those lines. Before, sometimes when one of us leaves for a trip, we'll go, hey, let me ask God to bless this trip before you leave the house. So praying for one another is a very, very healthy thing to do. Praying for your marriage, asking God to protect your marriage, to protect your spouse, and help you to grow closer together.
Absolutely. So the next one is to go to church together, worship together.
We're big on that. We think that's important. Worshiping together is important because then again, it connects you in a little bit different way. You're growing spiritually together when you're worshiping and studying your Bible together and praying together at church. We just think that's a great way to connect.
Right. And another plus with this is that when you connect with a church family, you're most likely surrounding yourself with other people who have good marriages. A lot of people that have good marriages that you can look up to. You can find some mentors. You can find some people that may be, you know, 10, 15, 20 years further down the road from you to ask some advice when you hit a rough patch. If you're going through some things with your kids or your marriage or whatever it is, it's great to build those relationships within a church family where you can connect with people and have those.
We've done that.
Yes.
We have couples that we have said, how did you do this? That have been there, and that's important. And if you don't have a church home, find one. Find one that is that will bless your marriage. It'll bless your family. One that where you can go and grow together and have classes on marriage and family, and I mean just all those things. Just find a church that will bless you, and I promise you, it will bless your marriage when you go to church together.
It will, and get involved. Don't just go sit in a pew. And, you know, leave the minute that the doors are open, you know, church service is over. Get involved. Ask, you know, and don't wait for somebody to ask you to do something. Just find somebody and say, hey, we would love to be more involved. What can we do?
Yeah. And the dog said amen.
He did. He is agreeing with what we're saying.
So one of my favorite things that we do on Sundays, when we go to church together is, well, there's two or three things. One, I love the fact that we both can talk about either songs we've sang or the lesson or whatever it was. And it gives us a connection spiritually to talk about spiritual things that we've done together. The other thing that I really, really enjoy is we have always done, and it seems like anytime there's a prayer, we hold hands. And that's just one of my favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we're about to pray. Where's your hand?
It just kind of adds another layer
of intimacy.
To that intimacy, yes. Yeah. So, okay.
Let's do another one.
All right. We're going to read the Bible together.
I like this. And when we've done this, I've loved it and would love to do better at this. Where we sit down, where y'all sit down, whomever is listening, and find your spouse and find the book of Proverbs or one of the Gospels and say, let's read a couple of chapters together. You read 10 verses and then I'll read 10 verses and follow along. Get the same translation where you can follow along together and read together. I love when we do this together.
Yeah. The key here is finding a time of day that works for both of you. If you, you know, if your time of day is going to be in the morning at the breakfast table, maybe it's in the afternoon, like we have our coffee time where we sit and talk, and maybe it's before you go to bed. A lot of families do this at the dinner table after they've eaten, before everybody gets up and scatters. You know, they might have a few verses that they take turns reading. So find a time, you know, stick to it. It can be daily. It can be, you know, say every Monday night we're going to do this as a couple or as a family. But find some time and make it a habit.
I like that. The next one's fun. I like this one. I've been waiting to get to this one.
Okay.
Be reminded that you're married to one of God's kids. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be married to one of God's kids?
Well, there's some accountability there.
Okay.
You know.
In how you treat one of God's kids?
Exactly. You know, if God's looking down going, you better treat my child nice or I'm going to get you. That's kind of the picture that we have of him.
It is. Well, think about that for a second. You know, he is your heavenly father-in-law, mm-hmm. and he expects you to treat his son or daughter, your husband or your wife, in the right way.
Right.
And if you are abusive, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, when you're rude, when you're unkind, just think about the fact that, you know, God really wants me to treat his daughter or his son very well. There's even verses in the Bible that talk about, hey, if you don't treat your wife like you're supposed to, and it can go both directions, don't waste your time praying to me because I'm not going to listen to your prayers. Now, I paraphrase that.
Right. Your prayers will be hindered.
Yes, 1 Peter 3:7. Your prayers will be hindered. You know, if you're going, I just don't know why God's, why is God not hearing my prayers, and you're being ugly to one of his kids, the person you're married to. And I think there'll come a time someday. I think there'll be some people that are held accountable in judgment for the way they have treated their spouse, which is one of God's kids.
Excellent, excellent reminder. Excellent point. The next one is to serve others together.
Yeah, this is something that basically we feel that saved people serve people. That's just what we're supposed to do. And when you can do it together, whether it's make some food together and take it to somebody together, help somebody however it is, serve together, serve others together. Don't make life just about you. How can you serve somebody else? Find another couple to bless. Find a couple to mentor, a younger couple. Serve others together.
Mm-hmm.
Be a team.
Be a team. That's good stuff. Also, serve one another. You know, I mentioned at the very beginning of the episode that a lot of times we do things for each other because of our love for God. You know, there are times when maybe we're not getting along real great, but I'm still going to treat you the way I should because it's just the right thing to do. I love God. I've told him that, you know, I'm committed to you and I'm going to love you. And he's told me, he's clear in his word of how I'm supposed to treat other people, whether it's you or, you know, the neighbor down the street. And so, we're going to be good to each other because we love God. And that includes serving each other.
And there are a lot of couples who, and I get this, sometimes couples get frustrated because they feel like they're in a one-sided marriage. And it's like, I feel like I'm the only one that's putting out any effort. One of the things that you need to see, is that I'm still supposed to serve you. Jesus didn't say, serve them only if they're going to serve you back.
Right.
In fact, when he washed all his disciples' feet, one of the people he washed was Judas, knowing full well Judas was going to betray him, mm-hmm. knowing that. And he didn't tell Judas, sorry, I'm not washing your feet, or you're going to be ugly to me, or you hadn't done anything for me lately, so I'm not doing anything for you. And if we learn anything from that, it's the fact that you don't have to wait until your spouse or someone else is deserving in order to serve them.
Absolutely.
Maybe you had an argument before bed the night before and you went to bed a little frustrated with your spouse. Get up the next morning and fix her coffee. Get up the next morning and leave them a note about how much you love them and appreciate them. Serve them. Do something nice for them. That really, really makes a world of difference.
It really does. Man, I totally lost my train.
I am sorry. You had a good thought.
No, what happened? No, honestly, I really was just concentrating so hard on what you were saying that I wasn't thinking about where we needed to go next.
That's okay. But serve one another. You don't have to go, well, he didn't fix my coffee in a week, you know. Get him to fix his coffee anyway.
We talk about stalemates, you know, in marriage, that's a huge marriage killer because we feel like, well, I'm not going to do that for him because he hasn't done such and such for me. And so, you know, that's just the total opposite of the way God tells us to treat each other. So
the best way to fix a one-sided marriage is do you keep loving and you keep serving and you will inspire them to do the same thing back.
Mm-hmm.
At some point they're going to go, you know, he or she has been so nice to me this week. I don't know how many mornings they fix my lunch or fix my coffee and I really need to do something for them. That's how you get it going again.
Yes.
So last one?
The last one here is to forgive one another.
Do we have to?
Forgive one another.
Be a good forgiver. It is the better forgivers you can be in your marriage, the better your marriage is going to be. And that just means you're not going to hold grudges. That doesn't mean you're just going to let everything slide and you don't bring up to your spouse, hey, that hurt my feelings of what you said. Doesn't mean you're going to pretend like something didn't happen. That just means maybe you do need to bring it up and then you need to go, but I forgive you for that. But be a good forgiver. Be a good forgiver.
Yeah.
Forgive before they ask. There are times where, you know, maybe your spouse has hurt your feelings and you go, hey, I'm going to forgive them. They may not even know they hurt my feelings. Forgive them if they don't ask. Again, maybe they didn't even know they hurt your feelings. We've had that before at times where we've talked about something and one of us would go, well, I didn't know I even said that. I apologize. And so just be a good, don't hold grudges. Grudges are hard on your marriage.
Yeah. Don't hold grudges. Don't bring up things that happened, you know, long time ago. Be quick to forgive. I want to try to forgive you quickly because there are going to be times when I'm going to mess up and I'm going to need you to forgive me. And so,
We're talking about God in this episode or this here, if we read the Bible right in Matthew 18, we're told pretty clearly that if we want God to forgive us, we're required to forgive other people.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot hold a grudge against you and tell God, I'm sorry, I messed up, and expect him to forgive me. There's got to be forgiveness between us in order for God to forgive me. Now, for those who have been hurt really, really bad, you may go, my spouse, you do not know what my spouse, we apologize, and we know that there are some, in some marriages, there's been some deep, deep hurts. Forgive. It may take some while to rebuild trust, but make it a process to work to start trying to forgive, because it will probably help you more than it will help the person you're forgiving.
Yeah, really.
If you're holding the grudge.
Really, it does. You know, forgiving is more for your benefit than anybody else's. And when you forgive somebody, you're not saying that, you know, what you did was okay. Absolutely not. But you're just letting go of those hurts so that they don't just continue to eat you up inside.
That is exactly right. Why do you think God would be so tough on wanting us to forgive? Probably because it cost him so much to forgive us.
Yes.
He paid a high price in the life of his son on a cross to forgive us. And I think I can understand now why he goes, don't be mad at your spouse and unwilling to forgive because they were a little sharp with you this morning when they probably should have been a little more patient. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Hopefully you don't feel just totally preached at at the end of this, but it's important. We feel like it's important to marriage to put God at the center of it. We feel like when you do things his way, he just will pour out abundant blessings on you.
And everybody's seen the little meme where it's a triangle with a husband and wife in the bottom corners and God at the top. And when a husband and wife are both willing to grow closer to God, they get closer to each other. We've often said that our marriage always seems like it's better when we're really focused on our relationship with God.
Yes.
So that's our podcast today. And I think it would be good if you're good with it. Let's close today with a prayer and ask blessings on these marriages. All right. Father, we thank you for our time today that we can talk about you. You are so good to us, better than we deserve. Thank you for our marriages, for creating marriage, for creating us with the ability to both love, give love, and receive love. Thank you for realizing that life is good when you have a partner and it's done right in marriage. We mess it up a lot of times by being selfish and prideful and rude and unkind. And we're sorry, and we don't want to do that anymore. We want to realize the value in our marriage, and we want it to grow, to bless us, to bless you, and to bless our children and our grandchildren. Thank you for loving us and blessing us, and thank you for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see y'all in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.